If you received my emails this week, you found out we have a new web page. Brother Joe Bork has been working on that extremely hard. We had a lot of details embedded that he had to take care of. I love Guy and Pat. They were so good for us when they were here, but their fingers were in everything. And they didn't, clean those fingers out when they left. So it's a process of trying to get things back in some order. And Joe had to work real hard to do that. But the address for our webpage has changed a little bit. It's it used to be TPCLC, Turning Point Church League City, .org. Now it's Turning Point Church of League City, OFLC. Yes. OFLC, right. TPCOFLC, Turning Point Church of League City, .org. And the old site still references the new site. So even if you forget, you can get that new address. And this web page has a lot of hidden things in it that we can add to. It's a lot more versatile, okay, than what we had. And just thank Joe when you see him. Him and Stephanie are gone to see Grandma and Grandpa this weekend, but they'll be here next weekend. All right. Any other announcements or? We got a few T-shirts left out here. Please be sure and pick them up. And any announcements I missed? Any testimonies this morning? Y'all quiet? Electricity's out in part of League City. 6,000 homes or something like that. That's a lot of places. All right. Nothing? Hang on just a minute, Kevin. Sammy? You got a new house. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. Kathleen, you had something? Amen. Amen. Glory. Glory, glory. Well, we got a special treat. Pastor Glenn Brown's going to be preaching to us today. How about that, Pastor Glenn? Amen. I like that. I like that. Come on up, Brother Glenn, and I want to pray for you. That's the first thing I told him to do. Get your message ready. Now, the first thing was that camera, and he did a great job on that. But hallelujah. But we're glad to welcome Pastor Glenn in that position. And I know he will be a great help in this church, a help to me. And we're blessed. Amen. He accepted this call on his life. I think it's been there a long time. But he finally said, okay, Lord. Amen. Amen. Father, I just lift Glenn to you this morning. And, Lord, I know you've given him some word. You've given him a message, Lord, a message that these songs even went with today. And, Lord, we want to hear it. We want to hear what you have to say through our brother. And, Lord, just bless him as he steps forward in this new phase in his life, Lord. And he's going to need your encouragement and your strength. And Lord, touch his heart. Give him whatever he needs, Lord. And bless him and Carol and the kids in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Am I on? Can everybody hear me? Good. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's so good to see every... I'm sorry?
I said, welcome.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. So good to see everybody. I don't think we're quite back up to full strength yet, but we're getting there. Every week we're seeing more and more people returning, and it's such a blessing to see y'all's smiling and joyful and spirit-filled faces. And it's just such an encouragement to me personally for us all to be together here in one place. And I know there are folks that still aren't comfortable yet coming back or aren't able to come back. For various reasons, and I certainly understand that. And we just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just minister to them wherever they are, and whatever their need is, that you'll just touch them right now until such time as they are led to come back here or are able to come back here. Amen. I've entitled today's message, The Faith Journey. And I'd like to get right into the Word and start by reading to you from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, starting with verse 8. And today I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for being the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you for setting our feet upon a rock and establishing our steps. We thank you for giving us the grace and the spiritual blessings that we need to complete this faith journey that we're on. We thank you for the abundant life here on earth and for the hope and assurance of heaven to come, where we long to one day hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." Amen. Use me as your vessel. You must increase and I must decrease. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Abraham, his father Terah, and their families lived in a city called Ur, which was located in Mesopotamia. The scriptures tell us that Terah was an idol worshiper. He worshiped false gods, probably the moon god that was the primary god of that region. But the scripture tells us that Abraham knew the Lord God Jehovah. And Terah, Abraham, and their families left Ur and began migrating westward, eventually traveling about 600 miles and settling in a town called Haran. And that's as far as Terah ever got. He stayed in Haran and eventually died there. But Abraham knew that Jehovah God had called him and his family to a better place. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your family's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham finished the journey that his father had failed to complete. In faith and without wavering, Abraham turned his back on the sin and idolatry of the place he had come out of, and he went forth toward a land of blessing. when Abraham started out, he didn't know where he was going to end up. He didn't have Google on his computer. He didn't have a map on his iPhone. He didn't have GPS in his car. All he knew is that God was going to show him where to go. He didn't know how long it was going to take him to get to his destination. He didn't know what tests and what trials and obstacles he was going to encounter along the way. He had to step out in faith. And through faith, God guided Abraham another 400 miles from Haran until he came to the land of promise, Canaan. Amen. Now, I want you to think back to the day when you first said yes to Jesus. On that day, you were just like Abraham taking that first step toward Canaan. You had turned your back on sin and self and set out on a journey, living for God. But praying the prayer of faith and getting saved isn't the end of the journey, it's just the beginning. Amen. Faith is not a one-time event. Faith is continuous. It's something we walk in and operate in on a daily basis. Let's look at Galatians 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Abraham took a step of faith when he left Haran to go to Canaan. By the way, just as an aside, Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Hallelujah. He was not a young man. So if there are any of you out there who think that your best days are behind you, I'm here to tell you that if you'll just allow God, open up your heart to him, and be willing to listen to him and obey him, God can still work mighty works through you. God is not finished with you yet. Never say to yourself, I'm too old, I'm over the hill, God's finished with me, my best days are behind me. That is not true. That is a lie of the devil. And in fact, I will go so far as to say that in these days, like Sister Bonnie said, with this country in such turmoil, and I see young people not knowing what to do, not knowing what to think. Young people that need guidance, need direction. If there was ever a time that this younger generation needs the wisdom and the guidance and the example and the role models of our older generation, it's now. So I think God has a purpose for all of us, and one of those purposes is to set a good example for this younger generation. Yeah. You know, these younger people growing up and seeing all this going on, they need godly parents, they need godly grandparents, they need godly friends and associates and role models and examples. Let's be that for them. That was just a rabbit trail. That was for free. So Abraham took a step of faith when he left Haran to go to Canaan. But he had to walk in faith every day and listen to God to know which direction to go, where to find food, water, and shelter, how to care for his wife and his family, how to cope with difficulties, obstacles, and opposition, and how to arrive safely at his destination. Now, just like Abraham, we're on a journey, a faith journey. And God doesn't necessarily tell us where every bump in the road is going to be as we progress on that journey. He wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. Like Abraham on his way to Canaan, we're just passing through this world. Our dwellings are temporary right now, But in faith, we look forward to a time when all the difficulties and obstacles and trials and tribulations are behind us, and we come to that permanent dwelling place that's waiting for us, a dwelling place with a firm, solid foundation that can never be moved. So why do we need faith? What's the benefit of faith? Why is faith important? Well, there are many reasons. In fact, the Bible talks about faith over 330 times. Obviously, we don't have time to go through all of them this morning, as much as I'd like to. But I would like to share with you two of them. The first and most important reason why a Christian needs faith is that faith pleases God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Another scripture says it like this, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's pretty plain. The Bible couldn't be any plainer. Yeah. Nothing obscure about that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Abraham forsook the false gods and idols of his father's land and put his faith in the Lord. He diligently sought the land of Canaan and found it. He didn't draw back. He didn't stop short. He didn't give up and return to his father's house. He finished the journey that the Lord God had set him on. And as a result, the Lord blessed him, and not only him, but also his family, all his descendants, and even us, because Scripture tells us that even the Gentiles, like us, Gentiles who are of faith are sons of Abraham, so that we are blessed just as Abraham was blessed. The second reason that I want to share with you this morning why faith is so important is because faith is a shield that allows us to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one and gives us victory over the world. Right. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, if there was ever a word that describes today's world, this is it. Make no mistake, the world wants to seduce you away from the Lord. The world wants you to deviate from the faith journey that you're on and get you to take another road. The world wants you to exchange the power of God for the wisdom of men. Do you want victory over the world?
Yes.
Keep walking in faith. Are you more interested in the power of God than in the wisdom of men?
Yes.
Keep walking in faith. Do you want to be able to effectively protect yourself and your loved ones from the attacks of the enemy when they come?
Yes.
Keep walking in faith. Now, so far, I've talked a lot about faith, but I haven't really defined for you what faith is or how it operates. If you ask someone to define faith, they might define it simply as being a trust or a belief or a confidence in something. And these are certainly all good aspects of faith. But what I would like to suggest to you today is that faith is more than just a simple trust or belief or confidence in God. That's certainly part of it, but faith is also a process that has a start, an end, and steps in between. I like to call this process the chain of faith. There are four links in the chain of faith. If you're taking notes today, this would be a good thing to write down. The four links in the chain of faith: hearing, believing, obeying, and persisting. In order for faith to be complete and effective, all four links in the chain have to be present. What happens to a chain if a link breaks or is missing? The chain, it falls apart, right? Whatever purpose that chain had isn't being fulfilled, isn't being accomplished because that chain has broken. A link in that chain has broken or is missing. In the same way, if any of the links in the chain of faith are missing, then whatever work God has given us to do will not be completed. Let's take a closer look at each of these links individually. The first link in the chain of faith is hearing what God is saying. Before we can start on any faith journey, we first need to hear from God. The scripture tells us that faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what?
Word of,
Word of God. Thank you. Let's go back to our example of Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 1. Let's look at that again. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Now, if Abraham had not heard what God said, had not listened to his voice, his journey to Canaan never would have even started, would it have? Abraham would have just stayed where he was and never would have moved. He might have even been perfectly happy and content to stay where he was. But he would have missed out on the blessing that God had waiting for him. And because Abraham heard God, he knew that blessing was out there waiting for him if only he would step out in faith and go toward it. God warns us that in the end times, and how many of you believe that we're living in the end times?
Yes.
I absolutely do. The scripture says that there will be many signs of the end times, but that one of the signs of the end times will be an increase in lawlessness.
Yes.
And I think we're seeing that very clearly in this present time. But God warns us that in the end times, there will be a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
The Lord is going to become harder and harder to hear unless you are diligently seeking Him, because the scripture promises us that for those of us who are of the household of faith, that if we diligently seek Him, we shall find Him. When we seek Him with our whole heart.
That's right.
But as the world gets farther and farther away from God, the voice of God is going to become dimmer and dimmer and quieter and quieter in their ears until they can no longer hear Him anymore.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. All they're hearing is the voices of the wisdom of men, philosophies and teachings and political beliefs and ideologies. You know, and the devil speaking, the devil preaching hatred and violence. But for those of us who are the household of faith, let us just keep diligently seeking the Lord.
Amen.
And He promises that if we do that, that we will find Him when we seek Him with our whole heart.
Hallelujah.
Now, for those of us who are seeking Him, and I pray that's everyone in this room, and I believe that it is, the Word of God can come to us in many different ways. He may not speak to us through a burning bush or through a talking jackass or in a loud booming voice from heaven. But if we'll just take time to listen, He will speak to us. And He'll speak to us through things like prayer, reading and meditating on the Bible, attending church services and listening to godly pastors and teachers and getting godly counsel from godly brothers and sisters. His Holy Spirit will speak to us through our spirit and our consciences if we are attuned to His voice. So whatever work God has set before you, get your faith journey off to a good start by exercising your spiritual muscles. Pray, read your Bible, Meditate on its words. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you every day and in every situation. The scripture tells us in Proverbs, "Blessed is the man who listens to me." That's what the Lord says to us. Blessed is the man who listens to me. Now, after God has spoken to you and you've heard him, then what? The second link in the chain of faith after hearing is believing. Believing what God has said to you. Now, this may seem obvious, but it's not as easy as it sounds. Sometimes we hear God, but we choose not to believe him. Usually because what God is saying conflicts with what our flesh wants to do. As the father of four sons, I can tell you from personal experience that just because a child hears you, it doesn't necessarily mean that he will believe you. Mark Twain once said, "When I was 14 years old, my father was so dumb that I could hardly stand to be around the old man. But when I turned 21, I looked back and I was amazed at how much he had learned in 7 years." We tell children things because we love them. We want to protect them. We want to keep them safe and healthy. We want to avail them of some of our experiences and wisdom and lessons that we've learned the hard way. That's why we tell them things like, "Don't be rough with the cat or you'll get scratched." "Eat your broccoli. It's good for you." And my personal favorite, because I've said it so many times, "No, you're not going to school in 40-degree weather wearing nothing but a t-shirt and shorts. You'll get sick." But just because they hear what you say, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to believe it. Let me give you an example. My oldest son, not Eli, but back there, but my oldest son, got his first car when he was 16 years old. It was a bright red Plymouth Sundance with a 3-speed manual transmission. It was a cute, sporty little car. Well, my son went through this phase as a teenager where he thought he was God's gift to the highway. And he thought he knew everything that there was to know about cars and driving. And he decided that it just wasn't necessary to use the clutch when shifting gears. He would just shift directly from one gear to the next without using the clutch because, quote, "That's how the race car drivers do it." And I tried to explain to him why that wasn't necessarily a good idea and that he was likely to tear up his transmission that way. Did he hear me? Yes. Did he believe me? No. Did he tear up his transmission? Yes. I had to have that car towed to Snyder's down the road here to see if it could be fixed. And Snyder's people looked at it and said to me, "Mr. Brown, I didn't even know it was possible for a transmission to break this way." And they tried to fix it, but the car never shifted gears or ran right ever since. And we finally just had to get rid of it. So now let's go back to the example of Abraham. God said, "Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you and make your name great. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Amen. Now Abraham heard God, but he didn't have to believe him. Abraham could have argued with God and given God a whole list of reasons for why what God said wasn't even possible. But Abraham made a conscious decision to believe God, and the Bible tells us that God considered Abraham righteous because of his belief. Amen. Now, God may say to you, "I have a great work that I want you to do, and I want you to help me accomplish it. It will bless you and the lives of everyone around you." If he says that, please don't argue with him and respond by saying, "Oh, who, me? You can't use me. You don't want to use me. You must be thinking of somebody else." You don't want to start listing all the reasons why what God just said is impossible and why God can't use you. Nothing is impossible with God. And if we'll only believe Him and allow Him to use us, as imperfect as we are, we will see mighty miracles occur in our midst. Broken hearts will be mended. Broken families will be restored. Financial needs will be met. Souls will be saved. Diseases will be healed. And lives will be changed. But more often than not, God will use people like us to carry out His work. And that brings us to the next link in the chain of faith, obeying. Sister Bonnie shared a song with us this morning a little earlier, Trust and Obey. That song has been rolling around in my spirit all week. Trust and Obey. So now that we've heard God and believed what He has said, we need to obey Him and do what He has told us to do. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 8 again. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. The book of James tells us in a couple of places that faith without works is dead. Hearing God and believing Him is the beginning of faith, not the end. Living faith results in action. Yes. Now that action might be something really grand, like becoming a missionary in a foreign land or starting an orphanage or having a television ministry or something like that. And I'm certainly not belittling those works. God can and does use people to perform those kinds of ministries. But more often than not, God calls us to express our faith in small ways. He calls us to express our faith in how we love our wives, how we love our husbands, how we train our children, how we treat other people, how we pray for others, what kind of friends we have, what kind of activities we participate in, how we conduct ourselves in our businesses and our workplaces, how we serve in our churches and encourage other believers, and how we represent Jesus Christ in a world that desperately needs Him. To do those works, we need faith. We need to be continuously seeking the Lord and asking for His guidance. And then when He speaks, we need to believe what He says and then obey. Don't be like Jonah, who heard God and believed Him. Jonah heard from God very clearly, and Jonah believed what God was saying. But Jonah definitely didn't want to obey God. He wound up going the other direction, and then wound up spending 3 days in the belly of a huge fish. Don't be like Jonah. Sometimes the work that God calls us to do in faith might be very fleeting, like perhaps giving some money to a homeless person you pass on the sidewalk. Right? Faith can be like that. You hear from God. God says, help this person on the sidewalk. And so you obey and you do. And that act of faith might take all of 15 seconds. But other times, the work to which God has called us is lengthy and requires a lot of patience and persistence. So that brings us to the fourth and final link in the chain of faith, persistence. Let me ask you a very deep and theologically profound question. How many of you have ever watched The Brady Bunch on TV? Watch The Brady Bunch? Well, if The Brady Bunch has ever taught me anything, it's that every situation in life and all of life's problems can be neatly solved in 30 minutes. Or 22 minutes if you don't count the commercials. But we all know that life isn't always that way. In fact, life is rarely that way.
Amen.
Yes, we all love the miracles of God. We love it when someone lays hands on a person and that person is instantly healed. And we love the testimony of that person who needed money and found $3,000 in their mailbox the next day. But sometimes the miracle doesn't come instantaneously. Sometimes the miracle comes only after patience, prayer, and persistence.
Amen.
The dictionary defines persistence this way. Persistence is firmly and obstinately continuing in a course of action despite difficulty or opposition. Let me read that again. Persistence is firmly and obstinately continuing in a course of action despite difficulty or opposition. Now, persistence may be the last link in the chain of faith, but it's also the most important, because without persistence, how well we've done with the other three links doesn't matter. If we expect our faith journey to be successful, we not only have to hear, believe, and obey God, but we also have to press forward with persistence, determination, and patience.
Yes.
Amen.
The Christian writer Jim George, who wrote a book called A Man After God's Own Heart, put it this way. He said, "It's not how you start, it's how you finish that matters." I'm sure that Abraham encountered difficulties and opposition on his way to Canaan. He may have been tempted at times to give up and settle somewhere else before he ever got there. But because he persisted, he reached his destination and reaped the blessing that God had promised to him and his descendants forever. Or consider Noah. Did Noah hear from God? Yeah. Noah heard from God in great detail about how to build the ark. God said, you know, make it this long and make it this wide and make it this high and make it out of this kind of wood, and this is how you're going to seal up the cracks in the boat, and I want you to gather, you know, all these animals of certain kinds and in certain numbers and put them on the boat. Noah heard from God in great, great detail. And then God told Noah that he was about to destroy the earth with a flood. So Noah heard from God. Did Noah believe God? Yes, of course he did, or he wouldn't have started building the ark. Did Noah obey God? Yes, he built the ark, and some scholars tell us that it might have taken him up to 120 years to do it. I imagine that Noah encountered some difficulties and opposition during that period of time. He might have been tempted at times to just give up and quit. But if Noah had not finished the ark, it would not have mattered at all how well he was able to hear from God. It would not have mattered at all how much he believed. It would not have mattered at all that he started the work. Because if he hadn't persisted and finished the work that God gave him to do, he and his family and the animals would have been destroyed by the flood along with the rest of creation. But because Noah persisted and finished the work, he and his family and the animals were saved. Our faith journey is completed only when we persevere and finish the work that God has given us to do. But I want you to take comfort in this, brothers and sisters. God never gave anyone a calling without also giving them all the resources that they needed to carry out the work. He's not going to leave you stranded. He's not going to leave you helpless. He's going to give you, he's going to give his Holy Spirit to walk right there alongside of you, guiding you each step of the way, giving you all the resources that you need. God gave Noah all the resources that he needed to build the ark. And when you step out in faith and start out on whatever faith journey God has laid out in front of you, he will give you the grace and the spiritual resources that you need to finish the journey. He has already blessed you, past tense. He has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Jesus Christ. All he asks of you is that you keep going and don't give up.
Hallelujah.
Another example of persistence is found in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. This is a very familiar parable. It's a parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That's a message to us. Always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Verse 4. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Verse 6. Then Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? God doesn't mind being pestered. He can take it. He would much rather have children who continually acknowledge their need for him, children who frequently cry out to him for help, children who don't hesitate to bring their needs before him. He would much rather it be that way than to have children who act like he doesn't even exist, children who never talk to him, children who have no need of him. At the end of the parable we just read, Jesus asked a very important question. When the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith on the earth? Or to say it another way, when I return, what will I find? Will I find my church, my people, walking in faith, walking in the power of my Holy Spirit, listening and believing and obeying and persisting in the work that I have given them to do? Or will I find my people departed from the faith, spiritually deaf, spiritually asleep, unbelieving, rebellious, having handed their hearts and minds over to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils? Moses called the people of his day children in whom is no faith. David said in the Psalms, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. And Jesus called the people of his day a faithless and perverse generation. I wonder what Moses, David, and Jesus would say about this generation that we're living in. What would they say about each one of us personally? When we meet Jesus, will he look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Or will he look at us and say, you departed from the faith. Now depart from me, you worthless and unprofitable servant. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says this, says it to us, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Brothers and sisters, we should never take our faith for granted. Faith is a precious commodity that is becoming more and more rare every day. The world and the devil are actively and systematically doing everything they can to lure us away from having a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. The devil wants us to become unfaithful to God and to sell out to him and to the world. Don't be ignorant of the devil's schemes. Yeah. fight the good fight,
yes,
finish the race, and keep the faith.
Amen.
If you would, please stand with me. Let's bow our heads. Today, we've talked about the four links in the chain of faith: hearing, believing, obeying, and persisting in what God has called us to do. But maybe you're feeling like your faith is a little weak right now, and some of the links in your chain of faith are broken and need to be repaired and strengthened. Maybe you're not hearing from God as well or as often as you once did. Or maybe you're hearing from God just fine, but you have doubts and you're having trouble believing Him and you're afraid to take the steps that He has placed in front of you. Or maybe you know full well what God has said and you have no doubt that it is true, but like the prophet Jonah, you may be in rebellion and you can't bring yourself to obey. Or maybe you've had a great relationship with the Lord for a long time, and you've been walking with Him in faith. But now you're having trouble finishing the journey. You're tired. You're discouraged. You're ready to give up. If any of the things that I've just said apply to you, I'd like for you to acknowledge your need to God by just briefly lifting your hand. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Lord, you've seen the hands of those who have humbly acknowledged their need for you. You are the author of our faith on the day that we first said yes to you, and now we ask you, Lord, to be the finisher of our faith. Help us to fight the good fight, to finish the race, and to keep the faith. Whatever the need is in our lives, the need to hear you better, believe you better, obey you better, or just keep going and not give up, we ask you, Lord, for the grace and the strength to help us complete the journey. We thank you, Jesus, for the good work that you began in us, and we rejoice that we can have hope and confidence and assurance that you're going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. What a great message. Hallelujah. Amen. We sang some songs earlier. Let's sing that chorus. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Hallelujah. You know, I think that the trusting, the obeying, the four links of these chains come with increased love for our Lord. As we love Him and love Him in greater detail every day, or greater way every day, it's easy to trust Him. It's easy to step out. It's easy to have that constant, persistence. Thank you. Because of our love for Him. And I was thinking of that when Glenn was talking about these things. The love, you know, God is love, right? And us being encapsulated in Him, just accepting Him in that love, helps so much to be able to step out in faith. Because each one of us sees things that we'd like to respond to. Each one of us has something from God, a message from God that we want to use our faith to work for or against, whatever that is. But if we love Him first, then that's easy to do, or easier to do. and to stay with it. I thank you, brother. Thank you for that message. And it was a great message. And it's one of the reasons I was so pleased when Brother Glenn talked to me. Because he's done this before. And he's touched my life. He's touched yours. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We know that's the key. Lord, increase our love. Increase our faith. Lord, no way do we want to stand before you and for you to tell us to go away. We want to be that servant, that steward. There's only that happiness and contentment and peace when we give our lives to you, Lord. Everything else is fleeting, and it means nothing. Just help us to remember what's real, what's not. Lord, I ask that the rest of our day be blessed so much because of our decision to trust you more this morning. Lord, this truly is the day that you have made. Use us, Lord, to change your world. Use us as instruments of faith. Use us to make a difference. And we praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Give some virtual hugs. Amen.